Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, if we've never met, and I'm very happy to sit with you. And we're going to sit together today for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please take your seat, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or sit in a chair with your feet flat on the floor. That's also fine. And I'm trying to stay out of the glare. So as we get started, I wanted to say a little bit about this very stressful time on planet Earth. It's a time of heightened fear, speaking for myself, and possibility. And one could go through each day thinking, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to make things turn out the way I know they should go, for very good reason, I'm sure. I don't know how to create the outcome that will save the world. I mean, it's kind of like that's where we are right now to some degree. It feels that intense, at least speaking for myself. So the truth is, you're right. One does not know what to do to fix things or change things or move things in the right direction, although we all, I would say, must do our part to bring benefit to this world and to support positive outcomes. So I'm not saying those things are worthless. Those things are really valuable and worthy. However, when I think about the future and where things might end up, then I start to get very anxious and I not know what to do. So why am I saying all this? There are actually four things you can do. And I'm going to tell you what they are in a second, but none of them involve driving to an outcome. That's the key. All of them involve meeting the moment, because it is only by meeting each moment, this moment, with something skillful that we can begin to move things down the road in the direction we think is best. So in other words, when I start to think about, well, how am I going to make things turn out a good way, I start to feel very powerless. But when I start to think about what can I do with this conversation, this moment, this idea, this experience, I think, okay, well, I can do that. And Vajrayana Buddhist wisdom suggests four steps, four things you can do. They're all good. And in most moments, one of them is the most appropriate. So I'm going to tell you what they are, then we're going to sit. So these are called the four karmas. Karma means transcendent action, not like what goes around comes around kind of karma, but it does relate to conventional notions of karma, perhaps, by talking about the seeds that you plant, because the wheel of karma turns on the seeds that you plant. It's not mysterious. You plant this seed, that will grow. Okay. So these four actions plant four awesome seeds. So the four karmas, transcendent actions, actions that have the power to transcend madness, begin with pacify. To pacify is the first karma. And pacify doesn't mean calm down or feel peaceful or help everyone agree. It doesn't mean anything like that. Here, pacification means being with what is, knowing where you are, relating to what is actually happening rather than what you hope will happen or what you fear might happen. But when we are present, we automatically come into relationship with this first karma of pacifying, because it is only by seeing things clearly that we have the chance of feeling strong. So the first karma is to pacify. So as you go about the situations of your life, you can pacify every moment you encounter by opening up to it. Good ones, bad ones. That you can pacify in both cases. The second karma is called enriching, to enrich. Once you see where you are, you can offer something that is more likely to be of true benefit than if you're just offering from your hopes and fears. So once you see, you can give. What you give is up to you, and there's no obviously menu, but sometimes what you give is something helpful and supportive and kind and warm and fuzzy. Sometimes what you give is anger or a direct self-expression of something meaningful to you. Sometimes what you give is silence. But without presence, without pacifying, without the first karma, we really don't know what is actually going to be enriching. So you pacify, and then you can enrich. And once you are able to pacify and enrich, you come into possession of the third karma, which is called magnetizing, to magnetize. It doesn't just mean what do you draw in to the various situations of your life, although that's very, very important to notice. The world is constantly trying to communicate with you. Don't take my word for that. Check it out for yourself and see. So in addition to seeing what is actually magnetized into the situations you encounter, once you have pacified and enriched, you may see that there are many more resources than you might have thought to begin with. Things that you can bring into play for the benefit of yourself and others, that the world is actually lousy with resources of all kinds, energetic, physical, all sorts of stuff going on that you can bring into play in the circumstances that matter most to you. So pacify, enrich, magnetize. And then the fourth karma is called to destroy, which doesn't mean to decimate particularly. It means any number of things, including to cut ties to the situations and people and habits that are deleterious. It could mean let go, just let go completely of something that you're doing that isn't working. And it could mean also just allow something to dissolve. You see that maybe something is already dissolving. You can allow that to happen. So all of these things count as destroy. So when you go into the circumstances of your life, into this day, and you think, as much as I myself do, you can refer constantly back to this menu of four choices in the moment. Do your best not to get lost or mired in what if this, what if that, because we don't know. We don't know. Instead, you could choose again from this menu. Is this conversation, this situation, this reaction that I'm having, what is needed? Is this a time to pacify? Is this a time to enrich? Is this a time to magnetize or destroy? So for myself, I find this a useful sort of way to contextualize what I could possibly do, as opposed to, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to try everything and do anything I can. Okay, well, let's calm down. Let's pacify and see, oh, these four things are actually very useful. And we don't know which one is required in any given moment until perhaps we pacify. So, hello, kitty cat. I see you in here. You're so cute. And outside cat's coming in. Hello, little Bob. Yeah, you think you can look around. Love this cat. So we're going to sit. Cat's leaving. And we're going to start now. All four karmas are present in our practice technique. We begin by pacifying. Just going to be with myself as I am. I'm going to take the posture. Legs are crossed loosely in front, or your feet are flat on the floor. The hands rest palms down, somewhere at mid-thigh. The back is straight and strong. The front body is soft. the shoulders are relaxed. I'm going to move a little bit to get out of the sun. The mouth is closed. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. And the eyes are open. And the gaze is cast down and soft. We further pacify by letting our attention rest on the breath. We're not trying to get anywhere, think of something, analyze anything. We're resting our minds on the wave of the breath by feeling the body breathe. Feel the inhale and the exhale. And again, let your mind be as it is. No need to change thoughts or stop thoughts or anything about that. Just let yourself be as you are, with your primary attention on breath. You're enriching your life, yourself, by giving yourself this moment to be who you really are. Thoughts will continue to arise. No problem. When you notice that you are distracted, say to yourself silently, thinking. Let go. Let go opens the space to magnetize. Just let go, and a space is created. Come back to this breath and begin again. And though we're not destroying anything right now, you may notice in your post-meditation life that habitual patterns are easier to cut, perhaps. So in all cases, we're just sitting here doing nothing. So we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It's very important. Thank you for practicing with me. I appreciate it a lot. And thank you for practicing together. Sangha, community, is what helps us remain strong. See you next time.